in your face. The beautiful music there of Samuel Gaskin, The Gift, and they join us on the line. Samuel, welcome back to 3CR.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I love that track. The first time I heard it, I was listening to it through headphones, and I just went, wow, it's so melodic. Tell us all about it.
Oh, thank you. That's a bit nice of you to say.
That's so true.
Oh, thanks. Well, really, I think the song came about after a little chat with Pip Norman, who co-produced it with me, and we kind of just got chatting about what we wish we knew growing up and what our parents had told us growing up that maybe they didn't. And the main thing was that we both came up with was that, like, the greatest gift really is embracing all parts of yourself as soon as you can. And that's kind of how the gift was born.
So it's really positive, and you can hear that in the music. Like, that was obviously a very conscious choice to make it sound really positive and uplifting. You must have had a ball recording it.
Oh, yeah, we sure did. Yeah, we really wanted it to feel like a gift too, you know? And I think we managed to do that just quietly.
I think so too. Now, tell us about what was happening in the recording studio. Like, what was the process that you used to create The Gift?
Oh, gosh, do you know what? The process for me in the recording studio is always very, I don't know what's the word for it. I want to say ad hoc, but that's not the word. Organic. I always start by kind of humming or beatboxing or trying to get out of my head what the feeling of the song sounds like. And then Pip's like an icon when it comes to piecing together all those ideas and bringing, like, the technical production elements into it. But we just have a really good vibe and energy and a good back and forth. So everything usually happens pretty quickly for us in the studio.
Wow. So the way the song feels is incredibly important for you to interpret it, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. With all my music, I've always tried to make sure I get the feeling happening first, because I feel like that's the best base to build on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. If you don't know how the song feels, how can you interpret it? And, you know, how can you take the listener with you? Exactly.
Yeah, and I don't think you can ever misinterpret the feeling if it's true. In the mix. So, yeah, that's just where I like to start.
You have been incredibly busy lately. You were in Northcote. That was your first gig on the north side, I think, or certainly for a while anyway.
Yeah. We put on Auntie at Northcote Town Hall. I think that was was it last week or the week before? I can't remember. All the weeks are mushed into one. But, yeah, that was amazing. It was so cool. It's our new project through my company, Beat Entertainment, and it went off. The aunties were certainly auntieing.
Yeah.
Town Hall, that's for sure.
Look, I love the affirmation of the whole gig, you know. It was like, Arnie's going to make you feel comfortable, and when Arnie says you're going out, you're going out. So dress to impress. But you did it all in such a nurturing way. And, of course, you had such phenomenal performers. And, I mean, the one that always jumps out to me is Too Juicy. Tell us about their performance.
Oh, my gosh. I love Too Juicy so much. Honestly, I look for any excuse I can possible to work with them. And so, yeah, Auntie was kind of like our baby. It originated as a party. We used to call it our inter-indigenational kiki. And it was more a party where we just wanted to create space for queer BIPOC mob to be able to get together and party and have a good time, but also be the centre. We got talking and we kind of decided how cool would it be if we could create it to be not just a party, but kind of like part party, part cabaret vibes.
Yeah. And I mean, that must have felt amazing. Like, you talk about feelings, but how did the gig feel?
Oh, it was so good. It felt, to be honest, it felt really important right now at this time in the world to be people who are cultivating joy and fun and happiness, and an excuse to let your hair down and have a dance. I just feel like with all the heaviness in the world right now, if that can be something that I'm doing in the world, I just think it's really important.
And I mean, your capacity and your actions in nurturing community are really coming across to me. And I think you must be feeling reciprocity from the community, but also you must be seeing all of the effects of that affirmation. And you must be getting a lot of love back.
I truly do feel like good vibes are catchy. So I honestly try and put as much of that into my work as possible, and I think that's what makes the work more meaningful. And I've always been a big believer, especially as I've gotten older, that if you've given talents and magic powers, you should use them for good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what good are you doing at the moment musically? What are you creating? Like, what's in the pipeline?
Oh gosh, so lots is in the pipeline. I'm working on an EP, which is exciting. And I also, have another few theatre projects in development. One of them with Eve Blake, who's a dear friend of mine and an icon. They wrote Fangirls, the musical. And I'm also hoping to fit a holiday in next month, because Lord knows I need it. But I feel really lucky to be doing all the things creatively that I've dreamt of. I'm kind of living my dream right now.
Yeah, and I really sense that with you. You really seem to be thriving, and you really seem to be, getting stuff back from all those good deeds that you're doing, which in turn is nurturing your creativity and really helping your output because you always seem to be doing something.
Yes, I have a problem where I like to do the most, and so that seems to be what I'm always doing. But I think it's a very good problem to have, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now tell us more about this EP.
Well, I'm working with a bunch of different producers, and the next single off the ranks I wrote on Moju's Soundbox Song Hubs, and I worked with two awesome artists, Haiku Kaya and Kwazi. And that was, remember when they had like that glass box thing out the front of the art centre?
Yes.
Yeah, APRA ran a collaboration with them as part of Always Live, and three artists were picked to go into that box and write a song in 3 hours. And it was all kind of live streamed, and people could hear what was going on in there at the same time. So it was the most crazy but awesome experience, writing a song with people I'd never met in 3 hours in a glass box out the front of the art centre. And the song kind of turned out quite amazingly. So, that's called Cry, and that will be out next. And then I'm so spoilt for choice, I'm still deciding on what else is going to end up on the EP. Because, I've just been lucky to be making some really good music.
That is a great position to be in. It's not like you're short of material, but I'm really glad the track from the glass box is going in. Like, that's a certainty.
Right, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And how does it sound compared to The Gift, for example?
Oh, it's quite different, actually. It's quite different, but still very my vibe. The feeling is definitely well embedded into that song, and we wanted that song to feel like you're dancing in the rain. And I think we achieved that. And Haiku Kaya is an amazing rapper, and they just add this really cool kind of funky, but deep and raw edge to the song as well.
Do you find that every day you're doing something musical?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if that's just singing in the shower or singing in the car with my kids or, you know, something that's not like work music. Music is so embedded in my life and brings so much happiness to my life. So I try and make sure it shows up some way every single day.
And what do your kids think of your music?
Oh, I should ask them. They're in the back of the car. What do you think of my music, guys? Oh, that's nice.
What did they say?
Rayla said, I think it's great. And Maxwell said, I think it's amazing.
Oh, well, that's lovely, because it truly, truly is. And your music career must be having a really positive impact on them.
Oh, yeah. They're both very musical and very talented themselves. My goal is for Maxwell to get so good at producing that I can just have my tracks produced at home, and Rayla's already writing her own song. So, no doubt there'll be a family band at some point.
Do you find yourself, though, like, you know, recording stuff at home, even with a handheld device, even with a mobile phone, just to give you that kind of basis so that when you go into the studio, you've got it, you know, it's a bit like taking notes, you know, you don't lose it?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to catch the ideas as they come. So I've always got my voice notes out, humming it, but a melody or, like, singing a little hook or... just recording some lyrics that are coming to me at the time. And it's really interesting to see when they end up, you know, showing their face and wanting to be seen by the world. But, yeah, many, many, many voice notes full of all that good stuff on my phone.
And do they just pop out at, like, really interesting moments, like when you're in the supermarket pushing the trolley, or, like, do you just find yourself all of a sudden breaking into song? Like, how does it work?
Quite randomly, but for me, it's funny. Like, I've got three, like, places where ideas come to me quite easily. One is the car. The other is when I'm flying, which is weird, but that's just how it works. And the other, would you believe, is on the toilet.
I wonder what all of that is about. Like, why? Is it the acoustics on the toilet?
I don't know. Do you know what? I actually think, like, now that I think about it, I think those times are, like the only times where, like, I kind of get, like, a few seconds to myself. So maybe, like, that's those ideas trying to escape just while I've got a moment to myself.
So people are on a plane, they find themselves sitting next to Samuel Gaskin, and all of a sudden you're humming away or perhaps bursting into song on the plane.
I try not to give it, like, full voice performance vibes on the plane. I try and hum quietly and write my lyrics down in my phone. But if I have to, I'll sneak off to the toilet to, like, hum it into my phone and record it.
So I'm fascinated by the evolution of your voice. How has it changed over the last year or so?
I truly do feel like your voice, well, my voice, changes with my life experience and what I'm living and what I have lived. And, yeah, so I think it just carries a wise confidence to it now, where I just think I'm at an age where I don't really care what other people think, and I'm not making anything to please anyone else. These days, it's really just about what I want to put out there into the world, and I think you can hear it in my voice.
And I guess, too, being in touch with those feelings and not being afraid to go with them, that must impact on your voice, right?
Yeah, I think for me in particular, whatever I'm feeling at the time is always, like, super present in my voice, so... I kind of, even when I've got gigs and that kind of thing coming up, I need to make sure I'm in a particular space to be able to, connect to that properly and have it come through my voice.
Does your voice ever surprise you?
Good question. I don't know. Not these days. Not these days. I mean, there have been moments, like particularly on tour and that kind of thing, where I'm feeling the fatigue and feeling tired and really feeling like, oh, am I really going to be able to do it for the show? And then once the lights come up and it's time to go, I can definitely do the thing, and that surprises me. I feel really confident and at ease with my voice these days.
What does showtime feel like, you know, when the lights go on, the curtain's up, and it's on, bang, it sounds like something just clicks. How does it feel?
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world. It's really where I feel completely alive and connected to what it is I'm supposed to be doing in this world.
So yeah, music,
it just feels like I'm exactly where I'm meant to be.
So music and singing really is a lifeblood for you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
And
yeah,
I guess too, it's also a conduit to culture, right?
Yeah. Music's been really integral for me embracing my culture and embracing my ancestral roots and heritage, and kind of like a way of healing growing up in very white, very homophobic Australia.
Absolutely. Mm. Now, I've got to ask, what are you listening to at the moment? What's Samuel Gaskin been playing on the apps, or, you know, on your CD or on your computer? Or what have you been listening to lately?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? I'm kind of obsessed with the new Lord album. Like, fellow Kiwi, it's a cool version, yeah. Lord's new album version has been getting a lot of rinse and repeat on my playlist lately. And another artist called Obong Jaya, a Nigerian artist whose stuff is so unbelievably funky and cool. And I've kind of just been playing a lot of that lately too.
If you could do a duet with any artist and record it, who would it be?
Oh, Beyonce, without a doubt. I mean, all hail the queen.
Wow, you didn't doubt, you didn't hesitate to answer that.
Nah. Like, yeah, I know who that is.
Wow, well, if she's listening, yeah. You're up for it.
Yeah. Beyonce, Lizzo, Janet Jackson, they can all feel free to slide into my DMs and organise a collab. I'll be totally fine with that.
And it'd be great if Lizzo did return to the music industry. I understand they're taking a hiatus. So they say they've quit it and given it up, but I don't believe it. I'm hoping they'll make a comeback.
No, don't believe it. She's definitely, I can tell by her socials, she's getting ready to drop something soon. So, yeah, I think she just needed a little break, but I'm pretty sure she'll be back.
Absolutely. Well, I hope so. I mean, I just love her. That last album was incredible. Now, Samuel Gaskin, if people want to see you in the coming months or weeks or days, when and where?
Yes. Okay. So if you want to see me, it'll have to be after my little holiday. So I'm taking a month off next month. And then once I'm back in town, we're putting on another auntie at the Lighthouse in Warrnambool. And I think that's in November. And then we're taking to Portland in December. And no doubt I'll pop up and do a few more gigs to promote new singles and EPs and that kind of thing, which if you want to keep your ear out to the ground, Instagram's the best place to find me, at Samuel Gaskin Music. I've got one of those cute little link tree things that has all of the information on there.
Fantastic. Now, when is that EP dropping?
Oh, good question. The plan is for it to be no later than early next year.
Fantastic. Well, I think a lot of people are going to be really hanging out for that. Samuel, it is a joy to hear your voice again. Thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. 3CR.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.